Hello and welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message entitled Prayer of Connection is from Sunday, October 11th, 2009, and is the second part of our Sunday morning series entitled Prayer, Constant Conversations with God. This message is presented to us this week by our lead pastor, Pastor Ray Noah. So now, let's join Pastor Ray as he shares with us this week's message.
Matthew chapter 6. We began a new series last week, and over the next 2 months, we're going to be pursuing that series as we rediscover one of the crown jewels of the Christian faith, and that is the Lord's Prayer. We're doing a study on the Lord's Prayer. And so we will be in it for 2 months as we kind of unpack and explore what this prayer is all about. You know, 2,000 years ago, the disciples saw Jesus praying. And they also saw that he had this incredible connection, this unusual, uncommon, continual connection with God. And they knew that that came primarily through his prayer life, fundamentally through his prayer life. And so one of the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, would you teach us how to pray? You know, we want to have that same kind of connectedness with God. And we also want to learn how to pray like you do, because we know that prayer leads to connection with God. So would you teach us to pray?" And so the Lord said, "Yeah, I'll teach you how to pray like I do." And he gave them this pattern for praying that we call the Lord's Prayer. You know, more appropriately, it should be called the disciples' prayer. But we know it as the Lord's Prayer. And maybe you've memorized this prayer, or maybe you've just been in churches so long you haven't deliberately memorized it, but it's just a part of your memory because it's been repeated or prayed so often. But my guess is, my bet is that you've never seen it in the way that we're going to see it over the next 2 months as the path for living in the presence of God and unleashing the power of God, and as a path for leaning into the peace of God on a continual basis through these constant conversations that this prayer invites and enables us to have. And so today, as we begin our message today, this message today on the Lord's Prayer, I want to invite you to stand again. I know that you've been up and down already today, but I want you to stand again. And for old time's sake, we're going to quote this from the King James Version of the Bible. Now, some of you still use the King James. Let me see your hand if you do that. You're still King James people? Okay. And so just to accommodate you today, we are going to quote this prayer from the Lord's Prayer. By the way, the King James is a beautiful translation, and it's a wonderful way to memorize Scripture. And so we're going to, we'll do it from different versions from week to week. But from today, it's from the King James Version, which is how many of us have learned this prayer. So we're going to say it together. Are you ready? Beginning in verse 9, and it goes down through verse 13. So let's say it together to say this prayer as our Lord taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You can be seated. Actually, the way I would like for you to think of this prayer as a series of conversation starters, if you will, a series of 8 conversation starters, and with each one of these being an invitation to a constant dialogue with God. So there are 8 phrases in this prayer, and that's why we're taking 8 weeks or 2 months to do this. And each week we will unpack one of these phrases. And so this morning I want us to begin with the first phrase is there in verse 9. In the New International Version of the Bible, which is the one that I typically teach from, it simply says this: "Our Father in heaven." Let's start there. Our Father in heaven. Now, you may not understand this, but that statement that Jesus gave, that introduction to prayer, as Jesus said, "Pray this way, our Father in heaven," was really quite a radical thing for Jesus to say. You see, we talk about God as Father all the time, but for generations, God was rarely, rarely called Father. I don't know if you realize this, but in the Old Testament, that massive volume of books, the prophets, the history, the wisdom books, only 7 times in the entire Old Testament is the title Father given to God. It was rarely used. But Jesus came along and he just exploded. He blew apart people's concept of God when he said, if you want to talk to God like I do, when you talk to God, call him Papa. Call him Daddy. Call him Father. You see, he was showing his disciples and you and me by extension that God was not an angry tyrant just ready to nuke anyone who stepped just even an inch out of line on the one hand. Nor on the other hand was he some apathetic creator who hit the go switch on planet Earth billions of years ago and then just stepped back and just let it go, just watched it go without really getting involved in it. Maybe once in a while, but just kind of took his hands off. He is not some distant, disconnected deity in a galaxy far, far away. What Jesus is revealing in this prayer, listen to this, is that God is an intimate Father, not an impersonal force. God is an intimate Father, not some impersonal force. He is literally Papa God. He's right here, right now. Now, that is really good news because I can't relate to an impersonal force, but I can relate to a person. So many people around the world who follow other gods, who worship through other religions, only have an impersonal force that they worship as their deity, but I can't connect, nor can they really connect with an impersonal force. But a personal Father, yeah, we can connect with him. And so that's why I call the first of these eight conversation starters the prayer of connection. The prayer of connection. Now, this might sound simple to you, but really this is quite profound because you and I can connect with a God who longs to connect with you. Why, think about that. You can connect with a God who longs to connect with you. And if you don't get this, if you don't get your arms around this and grasp this truth, then you are going to miss out on what it means to be a favored child of God. You know, the rest of your walk with God, your relationship with God, your spiritual walk as a Christian is going to be fundamentally flawed if you don't get this one right. And so that's why Jesus started with something as basic, as simple, yet profound as this. And so this morning, I want us to talk about how we can connect with God as our Father. With God as our Father. Now, right away, there's a problem with this because the term Father for a lot of people has become a negative term. For a lot of people, maybe some in this room, the term Father has a negative connotation. It reminds them of bad experiences with their earthly father, with their earthly dad. Images of disappointment, of feelings of resentment, memories of anger, perhaps even some experiences, some past experiences of abuse that this conjures up. The sad fact is, for many people, home became hell on earth because of dads. Dads who were distant. Perhaps they were just kind of detached and disconnected and there was no real relationship with dad. Or maybe dad wasn't even there at all. You know, so many homes today, 40 to 50% of all homes today in which children are growing up are homes without a dad present in the home. If you go to the inner cities, for instance, in the African-American community, the percentage goes way, way up. 70 to 80% of those homes in the inner cities do not have a father in that home. A distant dad, a disconnected dad. Or perhaps the father was demanding that no matter what, you could never please, you could never live up to that father's standards. Or maybe there was some danger associated with the dad. Maybe he was abusive. Maybe he was violent. Maybe he was not only verbally or physically or emotionally abusive, but perhaps he was even physically dangerous as well. And so consequently and tragically, their image of Father God has been corrupted. A lot of people walk around on planet Earth today with a corrupted image of Father God because of their relationship with their earthly father. They can't personally connect with God because they think if God is like my father, then no thank you, God. You know, if God is like my dad, then I don't want anything to do with that. It might even be at a subconscious level, but they've projected all of the negative baggage from their earthly father onto their heavenly father. And perhaps some of you in this room have done the same thing without even realizing it. If you grew up with an and unreasonable father, you might think that you can never please God. You have that sense that, man, I just can't seem to do enough to feel good about my relationship with God, about my Christianity. If yours was an unreliable father, you'll tend to think that God won't be there for you. If you grew up with an unconcerned father, then you're going to see God as distant, not connected, not connectable. If yours was an unstable father, then you'll be real nervous about God. You know, there'll be some fear that is based in your relationship with God. And so it's no wonder that you have a hard time encountering God. It's understandable that for some of you, it's very difficult for you to connect with God as Father. You know, there was a study done some time ago of 50 famous atheists, people such as Freud, Marx, Lenin, the German philosopher Nietzsche. And there was one thing that, and others that I can mention, but there was one thing that all of these famous atheists had in common. You know what it was? They all hated their dads. Every single one of them hated their fathers. And so it's no wonder that out of their lives came their life doctrine, which got translated into basically, there is no God. Marxism, Leninism, the philosophy of Nietzsche, all state basically the same thing. There is no God. So the journey to a right connection with God starts with these two opening words. You want to begin the journey to walking in a right connection with God? You start right here with the words, Our Father, Our Father. So my goal today is that you would trade in whatever misconceptions that you might have about God as Father. That you might just let go of your disappointments with your earthly father that perhaps have colored your relationship with your Father God, and get a fresh understanding and a fresh experience of what God the Father is really like. And so I want you to take note of several biblical truths. I'm just going to give you a few this morning, and there's so many that we could talk about, but I want to narrow it down to just a few that will liberate you, I believe, to the intimate relationships that He longs to give you through the gateway of this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The first thing that I want you to know, that Jesus would want you to know, is that God is a caring Father. If you're going to connect with God as Father, you need to know this. This is where it's got to start. That God is a caring Father. How much does God care for you? Wow, He cares for you an awful lot. In fact, if you doubt that, I want to challenge you to an assignment. I would ask you to go through the entire Bible and just do a study on the verses that talk about the care of God for His children. Just go through the Bible and begin to read the verses that talk about the compassion of God for His children. Of all the verses that I could have chosen, one of my favorites is Psalm 103 and verse 13. It says, as a father has compassion on his children, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. You walk with God in relationship. What is that relationship characterized? By the compassion of the Heavenly Father. That's why the Apostle Peter says that you can cast all of your anxiety upon Him. Why is that? Because He cares. Because He cares for you. The Greek word for cast is not like fly fishing. You ever fly fish? Where you cast out and you pull back. Cast out and pull back. It's literally to take all the weight that you're carrying. To cast is to take all the weight that you've been carrying and just dump it in the Father's lap and leave it there. The tense of that word, the word cast, is what's called the aorist tense. And it simply means that it's an action in the past that has ongoing results. It's once and for all. I cast my cares once and for all. Do you ever put your cares onto God? The things that are bothering you, the things that are weighing you down, you give them to God only to take them right back and think, I need to work on these a little bit more. You know, to cast, as Peter says, means to leave it with God, to take it and to leave it with God. Why? Because He cares for you. Now, when Peter used the word cast all of your cares, what did he include in the word all? Well, all. Everything. Your job, your bills, your house payment, your grades, whether you have kids or not, your love life or lack of one, you know, whether you're going to get married or whether you're going to stay married, Your career, your job, your success, your failure. Absolutely everything you worry about is something that God cares about. Let me say that again. Absolutely everything that you worry about is something that God cares about. And therefore, it qualifies for casting. You know, we're in this 60-60 experiment, and I've asked you to get a watch that beeps or to do stickies or however you can cause yourself to be reminded that every 60 minutes we're to stop and just practice the presence of God. Just be in God's presence and talk to Him about the things that are going on in our lives. By the way, someone last Sunday said, does that mean that I have to get up even in the middle of the night to do that? Well, no, you don't have to. Although it might not be a bad idea. I mean, you would be very tired, but you might be really holy as well, right? But I've been practicing that as much as I can, and it's amazing, you know, especially in this business of casting things onto the Lord, how effective and how much peace it brings to me when I practice this. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in my life that is do you. Things that happen kind of on the spur of the moment, or things that you've been thinking about, or things that come to you that weigh you down, that cause you angst, that cause you worry, that maybe upset you a little bit. And so this week, I've just been training myself to just pull back from those things and pull back from taking it on myself and just put it back on the Lord and begin to talk to God about that. I mean, I'll listen to the news. I'll hear things on the radio that kind of upset me. And so I'll just say, God, instead of being upset, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to pray for this. I've been praying for the president a lot this week, you know, because I'm supposed to, right? I've just been praying for him. I've been praying for other motorists because I really felt like doing some other things with them. Some of you, I think about, I get emails or I know the situations that you're going through, and as they come to my mind, I just say, God, I just want to bring them into your presence and speak their name before your throne. And it's amazing what happens when you practice this constant casting onto the Lord. Knowing that He cares for you, I'll tell you what happens. His peace comes over your life. It changes things. You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, that when we bring our needs to God, that and exchange those needs to Him, we get His peace in return. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. It guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We can cast our cares on the Lord. Why? Because He invites us to, and because He cares for us. You know, as a father, there is not a thing in this world that I want my kids to worry about. And I will move heaven and earth to make sure that they're more than cared for. That's with my kids. Now you take my fatherly care, my earthly care for my kids, and you perfect that, and you multiply it 1,000 times, and you stretch it into infinity, and then you just begin to get a smidge of what the Father's care is for you. The Bible says His care for you is beyond understanding, beyond measure. And how much easier it is to connect with God in prayer when you realize how much He cares for you. You know, when you're around someone and you know they care for you, it's easier to be around them, isn't it? When you know they really care for you, you want to be with them. And so that happens in prayer as well. When you gain an understanding that the Father cares for you, it's easier to go to Him. And it's something that you want to do because you know. He invites you into His presence and He says, cast your cares upon me. So here's what having a caring Father means for you and for me. That I can come and you can come 1,000 times a day for even the smallest needs at His invitation, and He'll never turn you down. He will never cast you away. There's nothing that's too small for Him to hear about, nothing too large for Him to handle on your behalf. I love what Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says. Matthew 7, 11. Oh, thank heaven for 7:11. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Your Father cares for you. Connecting with God has to start there. He cares for you. Not only does He care for you, but the second reason we can connect with God is because He is a close Father. He not only cares, but He's close. Jesus told us to pray, our Father who is in heaven. I want to take a moment just to unpack the grammar of this. The Greek word for heaven is uranos. It's the name from, it's the same word from which we get the name for the planet, Uranus. But the way Jesus says it here is actually in the plural. Pater hemon ha en tois uranois. It's the plural. It literally means our Father, the one in the heavens. In the heavens. Now, the heavens refers to a variety of things, both in the biblical text as well as the way we use it as well. It, for one thing, it's used to refer to the solar system. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens is the place where the stars and the moon and the planets are hung, and they're kept into space by the authority of God's word. It also refers to the place of God's dwelling. We talk about that when people die in God, in Christ, they go to heaven, the place of God's dwelling. And it was also used of the atmosphere, the oxygen that we breathe, the air that we breathe in, the stuff that keeps us alive even at this moment, something that close. Sometimes we talk about how something has just disappeared into thin air, or something appears out of thin air. It's referring to the fact that it is so close, it's just right there. That's Jesus' intent here. He's saying the one in the heavens is not a God from a long time ago, from a galaxy far, far away, but rather it's our Father who is right here, right now. He is closer than the air we breathe. Closer than the air that we breathe. And so I hope that you will never hear the phrase again, Heavenly Father. I hope that you will never pray this prayer again, our Father in heaven, without taking in a deep breath and realizing that He is as close as the air I breathe. What a beautiful thought. I want you to do something with me right now. I want you just to breathe in. Just do it. Just. He is as close as the air that we breathe. And here's what having a Father that close means. That the Father is never distant or disconnected from you. He's never distant or disconnected. He never says, hold that thought for a moment. Let me get back to you tomorrow on that one. Now, I'm out of town right now. I'll get to you when I can. Psalm 145 verse 18 says, the Lord is what? Is near all of those who call upon Him. He's not distant. He's not disconnected. Neither is this Father detracted nor detached from my pain. Much of life, we walk around with a fair amount of pain, and we walk with a limp because of things that happen in this life. And when I'm hurting, this God who cares and who is close doesn't say, well, just toughen up. I mean, come on, just walk it off. You got to buck up, rub some dirt in it. He doesn't do that. Psalm 34 verse 18 says, listen to this. The Lord is what? Is close to the brokenhearted. And He saves those who are crushed in spirit. No doubt some of you have come into this place today and you've had a very, very tough week. In fact, some of you would say, you know, actually my heart's broken. Some stuff happened this week and my heart is breaking over it. I want you to know this, that it's you that God is closest to this morning. You came in here with a pain. You came in with a broken heart. It's something weighing you down in your emotions and your spirit. The Bible says that God is closest to the brokenhearted. And the smartest thing that you could do right now is simply to cry out and say, Papa, help. God, Father, I need you. You know, Jesus sometimes used the Aramaic word for Father, which is Abba. It's not a Swedish rock group, by the way. Abba. It's a term of endearment. It was a very close kind of relationship that name inferred. It means daddy. Abba means daddy. It's the most intimate of terms. In fact, the Jewish people did not use that term Abba, a father. They thought it was too familiar. They thought it was too common, too close, too casual. But Jesus, no. If you want to connect to the Father like I do, if you want to connect to God like I do, call Him Abba. Call Him Father. Call Him Daddy. Papa. That's the kind of relationship that God longs for you to have. With Him. He longs for you to have that kind of close relationship with Him. Close and tender. Now, my two girls at this point in their lives are probably beyond calling me daddy. But if they did, I'll tell you what, I'd just melt. Don't tell them that, because I'm already, you know, doing enough melting with them anyway, you know. They don't need any more, you know, ammunition with me. But if they call up and say, daddy, just melt. Just melt. They don't need to be careful with me in a conversation. They don't need to be guarded when they come in to my presence to talk to me. They don't need to be worried about what I'm going to think of what they say. Nor do they need to use my name over and over again like a punctuation mark. You ever hear how some people do that when they talk to God? I mean, God's name is used about every other word, you know. I mean, now people are going to be nervous when they come up here to pray because they're going to really be aware of what they say. They don't need to refer to me in all those pontificating terms that sometimes you hear people use when they pray. I mean, if my children, my daughters, called me up and they said, O thou sovereign progenitor of the Noah clan, or something like that, you know what I'd say? I'd say, huh? Who are you talking to? What are you on? You know what I think God says to people who pray like that? I think he says, come on, just cut the crud and tell me what's on your heart. What's on your mind? What are the things that are bothering you? What do you want to say? I just want to hear it. God longs for that kind of intimacy with you. He's a father who wants to be close to you because he is close to you. And then third, not only is he caring and close, but he's competent. He's a competent father. If God were caring and God were close, but he weren't competent, he wouldn't be much of a father. And a lot of people have a concept of father as someone who's not all that competent. You know, in our culture today, especially as it's portrayed on television, the role of the father has kind of been demeaned in the last generation or two. Have you noticed that? You know, kind of that started with the Archie Bunker type of father and, you know, Homer Simpson and those kind of, you know, they're portrayed as stumbling, bumbling, dolts, incompetent dolts. You know what? I mean, we laugh at that. We kind of chuckle at those portrayals of fathers, but I think that's actually a satanic strategy. I'm serious. I think that's actually a satanic strategy, and I'll tell you why. I think Satan knows that our view of our earthly father will affect our view of the heavenly father, and I think he wants us to think of the Father, Father God, as someone who's incompetent. Maybe loving, maybe caring, maybe close, but he's impotent, he's incompetent. I think it's a lie from Satan. And I think it's time for us to call a time out to that. It's like the kid who, school kid on the playground who brags, you know, my dad can beat up your dad. Kids that do that. You know, my dad can beat up your dad. So the other kid says, big deal, so can my mom. The truth is, nobody can beat up your heavenly father. Satan wants you to think that he's incompetent, that he's impotent, but nobody can beat up your heavenly father. Nothing is beyond God's power and his willingness to use it on your behalf. The prophet Jeremiah said, O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. Whatever your challenge is, whatever your problem is, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, I mean, if God could create the universe, the planets, the stars, the solar systems, and hang them into space and keep them there by his own authority, you think your problems are a big deal to God? They are absolutely not. You know what it means to have a competent father like that? It means that whatever you're facing, whatever your biggest problem is right now, whatever problem you brought into this room today, whatever problem you're going to get up, whatever challenge you're going to get up and face tomorrow, God can handle it. And he wants to. He wants to. You know, when my kids were growing up, they're now in their 20s, but when they were growing up, it was amazing to me what they wanted me to fix. Some days they wanted me to fix the weather. You know, some days they wanted me to shorten the school year. Worst of all, some days they came in with a decapitated Barbie and wanted me to get the head back on the Barbie. You know how tough that is? They thought I was Superman. They know better now, but they thought I was Superman. You know, God is not Superman, but he is supernatural. He's got supernatural power. He's a father who is not limited in resources or wisdom or power or his desire to display those on your behalf. And he is itching. He is itching to act on your behalf. Exodus 14:14. I love this verse. It says, "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Of all of the verses that I could have chose, this was my favorite. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to sit back and watch. Just be still. Jesus wants you to know that's your Father. That's your Father. He's incredibly caring. He's amazingly close. He's supremely competent. And Jesus taught us this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, to show us how we could connect in constant conversation with this kind of Father. I love how Dallas Willard says it in his book, The Divine Conspiracy. You probably don't have time to write this down, but I would encourage you to go onto the website tomorrow. These notes will appear. Or there's some notes that we have out at the information desk that have these slides as well. But I love what he says about this. He says, Jesus' intent was to bring his apprentices, that is, his disciples back then and you and me today, his intent was to bring his apprentices to the point where they dearly love and constantly delight in that Heavenly Father made real to earth in Jesus. You see, what is God like? All you need to do is to look at Jesus. Was he close? Yeah. He's God with us. Was he caring? Absolutely. Was he competent? Oh, man, yeah. He rose from the dead. And so it's his delight to reveal the Father through Jesus. And he wants us to be quite certain that there is no catch, there is no limit to the goodness of his intentions or his power to carry them out on our behalf. He is caring, he is close, and he is competent. Now here's what I would like for you to do with this, to drill this a little bit closer to home and make it practical. In the 60-60 experiment that we're trying, I'm going to ask you to do this. You know, there are 168 one-hour units this week between now and next Sunday. 168 opportunities for you to set the watch or to look at your little reminders. Maybe you don't get them all. Maybe you don't wake up in the middle of the night on every hour to do it. But 168 opportunities. And I want you, as many times as you can, to deliberately use the word Father in your constant conversations, in your practice of the presence of God. As many times in that cycle as you can, those one-hour cycles, I want you to consciously and deliberately and with keeping in mind what we've talked about today, to use the name Father. You see, when you use a name, you make a statement about the nature of the relationship with that person. The name expresses how much closeness exists in that relationship. In a formal relationship, you would say Mr. or Mrs. Or you would say doctor or reverend or pastor, a formal relationship. If it's a friend, you call them by their first name. Perhaps even a nickname if it's a close friend. If it's a family member, there might even be a pet name that you use to refer to that person. I have only two people on this earth who call me Father. And that name, that single word gets my attention quicker than anything else. It really does. If I pick up the phone and I hear my girl say, Dad, that establishes a context between me and them that is stronger than steel. And then everything that they say, their requests, their confessions, their anxieties, their hurts, their frustrations, their anger, their joys, their desires, their vision, their what they would like to do, all of it, no matter what they say, is transformed by that one word, Father. When they say the word Father, when they say the name Father, everything is fixed by that relationship. That becomes my context. Everything is transformed by that. And I'll tell you what, when they call me Father, I'm all ears. I'm all ears. And I will move heaven and earth if I can to help my kids. And that doesn't even begin to compare to the delight, the sheer delight that happens when God hears you call him Father. The sheer delight that God experiences when you call him Father. And that's the final thing that you need to know if you're going to connect with God as your Father. You need to understand that he is a Father who is absolutely captivated by you. He's absolutely captivated by you. He is head over heels in love with you. And you need to know that. You need to know that. If you intend to connect with Him, if you intend to connect with the God who longs to connect with you, you need to know that He is absolutely delighted with you, captivated by you as His child. I'm going to call for the musicians to come to the platform, and we're going to close the service with a time of singing, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to just experience the presence of God and His caring, compassionate, close Father who wants to touch your life because He's competent to do so. As they're coming and as you're preparing your hearts for this moment, earlier I mentioned some famous atheists who all hated their dads, people that are very, very famous, Marx, Lenin, Nietzsche. One of these, Friedrich Nietzsche, the 19th century German philosopher, and he's famous for the saying, God is dead. You wonder where that saying came from, that philosophy came from? It was Nietzsche who said that, developed that philosophy. And he once said this, it's very interesting. He said, if they want me to believe in their God, they'll have to sing me better songs. I could only believe in a God who dances. Well, guess what? You'd better believe in the God who dances, because He does. And the reason He dances over you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 tells us, the Lord your God is with you. He's close. He is mighty to save. He's competent. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you. The word rejoice in the Hebrew means, it refers to a festival. He dances over you with joy. He is captivated by you. That's your Father, Abba, Papa God. Close as the air that you're breathing right now. He's right here, right now. And He loves it. He absolutely loves it when you call Him Father. And so I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing this song that just speaks of the delight that God takes over us. And I want you to do something. If you need to experience the Father's closeness and His care and His power for your life, I'm going to invite you to take a step of faith and to come down to the front here, because I want to pray over you before we go. As we sing this song, I want to invite you to come. If you have never met this Father personally for yourself, if you've never accepted His Son as your Savior, I want to invite you to come and to just stand here and just open up your heart to God, maybe for the first time. Maybe it's to come and to recommit your life, your heart to Him. Maybe you've been wandering from His care and His love, and it's to come back and say, Papa, I want to come home. Maybe you just need to come and experience the love of God because as your Father, because the relationship you had with your earthly father was not a good one. And you need to take a step of faith and say, God, I'm just going to come and I hope that You'll heal my understanding, my past experience. And I want to know You as a Father who delights over me. Maybe you need God's power to be released in your life. Maybe it's a physical healing. Maybe you're facing a challenge. Maybe you're going to go into something this week at work or at school or in your home, and you just need to say, Father, I need Your help right now. I want You to come as well. Whatever your reason, if you want to experience a deeper experience of God, a deeper sense of God's love and His presence in your life, as we sing this song about God delighting over us, take a step of faith and come, and then we'll pray. Let's sing it, Pastor Ron. Hallelujah. Would you just turn your palms upward to the Lord, whether you're standing in front or you're out in the congregation? Would you just turn your palms upward to the Lord and say, Father, I need You. Touch me. Give me a new understanding of who You are. Give me a fresh experience in You. Father, we pray that in this moment we would just be overwhelmed by the deep, deep love of Father God for us. Father, help us to understand that You so delight in us that You literally dance over us, even while we're unaware. You are rejoicing, delighting over us. I pray that for everyone who came to this altar this morning, and those that weren't able to for whatever reason, I pray, God, that Your incredible fatherly love for us would be displayed, would be revealed to us. Father, I realize that this doesn't just come by the words that I've said or the song that we sang, but it comes by revelation. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would just illuminate the heart right now, and we would come into a fresh experience of the love of the Father. Father, I pray especially for those who came to the front right now. I pray that as they open their heart and cry out to you, that you would come to them. You would run to them with your love and your grace and your compassion. And I pray that before they leave here, oh God, would they understand that there is a God in heaven who is as close as the air they breathe. And He is Papa God. He will never leave them nor forsake them. Father, I pray for all of us that as we go out from this place today, that we will live in a constant conversation. We will practice the presence of a God who is right here, who is right now, closer than the air that we breathe, who delights in us. Lord, help us to delight right back in You, we pray. And we pray that as we do this, as we practice this, God, I ask You that there would be a collective revolution of the soul that takes place at Portland Christian Center and in the lives of every one of Your people standing in Your presence today. Father, I pray this, and I thank You for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you as you go. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring the second part of our series, Prayer, Constant Conversations with God. If you live in the Portland area and you're looking for a place to connect, please join us next Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. And for more information about our church, you can visit us online at www.pcctoday.com.